On Saturday at the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Fairbanks, Senator Mark Begich held a Senate Committee on Indian Affairs field hearing. Senator Lisa Murkowski and her staff members were also present, and discussion involved health, viability, and food security. Leaders from the different Alaska Native regions testified, including Kuwerik President Melanie Banky, raised in Savunga.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. Participants, thank you for your presence. There are many great giants in this room, and I feel as though I stand on your shoulders as I speak today. Respected Senators Huanga Atka Akehpokarao Sivunga Mupingonga, I am Akehpokara. My English name is Melanie Banky. I am a St. Lawrence Island Yupik and was raised in the village of Savunga. I am a descendant of a long line of people who have relied on the sea and land to sustain us in one of the harshest climates in the world. I am a tribal member of the native village of Savunga. I have a master's degree in rural development. I am a board member on the Alaska Federation of Natives, and I do serve as a president of Kuwerik. But most importantly, I am the mother of beautiful Alaska Native children who are among those for whom I seek to ensure that the subsistence way of life is perpetuated. Toward that end, I am honored to be here and grateful for the opportunity to share my perspectives and recommendations. I have been asked to explain in a brief amount of time the importance of traditions, family, and Native values as new federal policies are being developed to achieve sustainable communities. This is a tall order, almost akin to explaining how rituals, church traditions, and spirituality are important to the continuation of religion. The cost of living in rural Alaska is astronomical, and our people are plagued by a myriad of social conditions attributed to historical trauma stemming from actions aimed to assimilate our people into Western society. For us, subsistence is critical for our continued survival as individuals, families, communities, and it is also the cornerstone of our continued survival as a people. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, which was ratified by the U.S. Congress in 1992, states, "In no case may a people be deprived of its own means of subsistence." So what is subsistence? The dictionary defines subsistence as a non-monetary economy which relies on natural resources to provide for basic needs through hunting, gathering, and subsistence agriculture. It means supporting oneself at a minimum level. I believe that this gives only a partial explanation for the meaning of the word, at least as far as Alaska Natives are concerned. The new term food security is also only partially descriptive. To limit describing our way of life to food security would be like viewing the bread and wine of communion for the poverty-stricken from purely a nutritional standpoint. Unfortunately, rather than embracing the subsistence rights of Alaska Natives, we find that the federal and state governments, of which we are citizens, have figuratively declared a silent war on us as a people, using laws, regulations, policies, fines, and criminalization as weapons. Our battlefield has been in the halls of Congress, the state legislature, Board of Fish and Game meetings, and courtrooms. We abide by the laws, the regulations, and the policies because we fully recognize ourselves as citizens of both the state of Alaska and the United States of America. However, until our full rights to subsistence are restored, we remain prisoners of war in our own state, in our own country, denied the right to fully participate in the decisions that affect our survival as a people. This is a figurative description of the current situation. More literally, Alaska Natives are subjected to the complex, multi-jurisdictional policies developed and enforced by agencies staffed by individuals with little knowledge of our subsistence culture and needs, who have assumed the authority to manage and control the natural resources on which we are completely dependent. The Bering Strait region is fortunate to have unique resources on the land, in the air, and in the sea. We harvest migratory birds, salmon, walrus, ice seals, bowhead, beluga, minke whales, crab, halibut, moose, muskox, caribou, and those are just a few. However, these wildlife species live in many different environments and many are migratory. Various congressional acts influence how they are managed, and they are under many different jurisdictional regimes. Our indigenous hunters and fishermen know that to change policies or regulations regarding allocations, bag limits, licenses, permits, and bird stamps, that he or she must approach the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Federal Subsistence Board, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Board of Fish, the Board of Game, the National Marine Fisheries Service, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the National Park Service, or the International Whaling Commission, depending on the animal species. Although we were the first users, the first stewards, and the first managers of resources in Alaska, we are now subjected to submitting proposals, submitting testimony, and commenting for 3 minutes to be engaged with managers, and are ultimately at the mercy of the decision makers, the majority of whom are not representative of Alaska Natives, nor are they knowledgeable of our subsistence culture. Oftentimes, we are considered a special use group and therefore must compete with very well-funded national user groups who, with their ability to hire experts in policy and science and attend every meeting, can influence regulatory and management decision makers. We are extremely concerned about impacts of increased shipping on our subsistence hunters and resources in the Bering Sea. Because of climate change, the Bering Strait is remaining ice-free for longer periods of time, and data indicates a drastic increase in shipping activity through the Northwest Passage and the Northern Sea Route. Hunters' ability to safely and successfully harvest the marine resources that we rely on are jeopardized. Our natural resources are exposed to significant risk as increased shipping is occurring in our front yard. We communicate these concerns and make recommendations to the U.S. Coast Guard and National Planning Committees, yet we are not able to establish nor require enforcement of safety requirements in terms of vessel specifications, standards for cargo, areas to be strictly avoided, discharge of contaminants into our waters, etc. Much of the food that we eat comes from the sea. Imagine if the grazing areas of the cattle for your beef was allowed to be a dumping ground for waste and contaminants. We appreciate the work of the U.S. Coast Guard in working with our constituents to identify recommended shipping routes in the Bering Strait and encourage continued involvement to educate people and take into consideration the traditional knowledge our people have to offer. We want to be given opportunities to participate in forums involving traditional Alaska Native users and people from neighboring Arctic countries who use similar methods and often go after shared resources. We recommend marine research and funding be increased to document baseline information regarding our resources. We are living examples of how global climate change is affecting people. We face increased erosion due to frequent and severe coastal storms. Climate change is affecting our ability to live our subsistence way of life. While it isn't possible for government agencies to replace the cultural and traditional value of the lost subsistence harvests due to the low walrus in Gamble and Savunga this year, it will be extremely critical to each of those communities to have some economic support for the lost nutrition and walrus and ivory. I recommend that the state and federal agencies coordinate and work with these two villages and their leadership to determine appropriate actions to provide some form of economic relief, such as energy assistance or heating oil or food. We are approached to provide comments after the fact regarding plans for addressing changes in the Arctic. We have commented to many, many different forums on many, many different plans regarding the Arctic. These are often follow-up meetings to reports that have already been published. We need to be included not after the fact, but at the onset of planning. Alaska Natives deserve to have a more meaningful role in the protection of our resources and the management of our resources. Certain federal acts, such as the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Migratory Bird Act, recognize indigenous use and dependence on resources. The acts attempt to include the indigenous people through establishment of co-management bodies, such as the Eskimo Walrus Commission, the Alaska Nanook Commission, the Alaska Migratory Birds Co-Management Council, and yet the Alaska Native people serving on those co-management bodies are frustrated when their recommendations and objections are overridden by the state and federal representatives, often voting together, blocking valid recommendations to protect or carefully allow subsistence harvest of migratory birds or other resources. In some cases, we are provided one seat at the back of the bus, and in other cases, we are not even being allowed on the bus. The government-to-government relationship needs to be truly implemented and Alaska Natives afforded equal footing in decision-making forums that manage and regulate the very resources that we are wholly dependent upon. We are bearing the brunt of conservation for the wildlife species that have declined, more so than commercial users. In some cases, we have voluntarily imposed moratoriums on ourselves when game managers do not enact the proper measures to protect our resources, such as in Unalakleet, who imposed upon itself a period of time where the hunters agreed not to take moose until the population rebounded. There is a need to recognize both traditional and scientific knowledge in the management of our resources and for Alaska Natives to be included as decision makers. Protecting our resources and environment to perpetuate the culture and tradition of the highly valued subsistence lifestyle we live is a top priority. A recent project funded by the Rasmussen Foundation in our region, in which youth were surveyed, revealed that our youth sorely want to be involved in traditional and cultural practices. The traditional and cultural practices which we teach the youth stem from participation in subsistence activities during which we teach habitat, biology, food processing, food preservation, language, respect for the environment, hard work ethic, a sense of community, and celebration for the catch. Senators, I believe that the state of Alaska, the federal government, and Alaska Natives all share a common goal of abundance of our resources. For Alaska Natives, including us in the decision-making processes to allow us to take part in achieving this goal is paramount. These are the things that must be considered as policies are developed to achieve sustainable communities. In order to accomplish this for the Alaska Native society, we need to work together, not against each other. We need the state and federal government to stand with us as allies and not on opposing sides of a courtroom as our adversaries. As for your part in this point in time of history, the story is still unfolding. The actions of this state legislature, this state government, this Congress, and this administration stand to either perpetuate the genocide of a culture or to help ensure the survival of a people and the core of its identity. It is my hope that you be granted the strength, fortitude, and the will to ensure the latter. We look forward to working with you toward this end. Thank you, Senators, for allowing me to address you today.
Again, Kuwerik President Melanie Banky testified at the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs field hearing held at the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Fairbanks on Saturday. Those who attended the Senate hearing all stood in response to Banky's address to the senators.
Melanie, thank you very much. We have two more speakers.